this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Today is Fourth Sunday. Today is Eating Day. But yeah, it's great to be here this morning. We've had a wonderful revival this past week, and I just, you know, praise God for that. And the messages that we heard, I know I needed all of those, and I just pray that it touched someone's life. And I know it definitely blessed me, and it was just a great time to be in the house of the Lord in revival. We need to continue praying for revivals going around in our areas and stuff. There's a lot of them going on, and Brother Bobby just finished up this past week, and we just pray that, you know, that God would touch some, was dealing with lives there during that time. And we definitely prayed for Bobby and for his, what he had to share there with them. But anyhow, we was there Friday night, and it was a great time. And Bobby didn't get to preach his message. What was it?
Blind Bartimaeus.
He didn't get to preach that, but maybe the Lord laid on his heart, where he can share that with us. But anyhow, the Lord moved in a different direction that night, and of course he didn't get to preach that. But anyhow, we're looking forward to many great things that come out of revival. And of course, again, that's one thing I really needed. I needed revival. But anyhow, we need to lift up some ones in prayer, some folks in prayer. We need to pray for several of us. Got a text this morning. Brother Bo's not feeling very well this morning, and he's just a little bit weak and not feeling well. So let's pray for Bo and Linda, lift them up this morning. And Vanessa's not here this morning. Yesterday she had a little fall. We was out working yesterday. She hadn't been feeling very well at all anyhow, but she wanted to come out and help me. I was down at the barn working, and make a long story short, she tripped and fell and hit the concrete pretty hard, and she's just stoved up this morning. So she hated she couldn't be here this morning, but yeah, just lift her up in prayer.
Brother Wayne, is she having some dizzy spells too? I noticed the other day
she's got a deer problem right now going on, but I think that's getting better. And she hadn't just felt real good. She's been coughing and just all this allergy stuff. And then her ear was bothering her. I don't know if it was like an inner ear problem, I guess you'd say, but that got her balance off a bit. And I think that's one reason she tripped and fell yesterday, because I don't know, y'all might have heard her, but it was a scary time, but anyhow, she's fine. She just got stoved up in this morning, and she just didn't feel like she could make it this morning. But anyhow, anyone else you want to lift up in prayer this morning?
My cousin Jerry is in Texas. I'm texting the ladies. He's got pneumonia in both lungs, and he's also had some blood cancer. And so it's real serious. They had just moved here a couple of years ago in Nevada, Las Vegas, to get to a more conservative place. And retired, decided they moved from Florida to Las Vegas, Alabama. So wow. It's been a big move for them.
It sure has.
They love it. I'm very thankful to be here. But I do ask God to pray. My name is Jerry Rich. And we just need to touch from the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. Hey, Wayne, Miss Patsy Vickery is very near the end of her life, and I'd like for the church just to pray the Lord be with her and help her as this transition is near. You know, it don't seem very long ago, but she just played for us at the nursing home one Sunday afternoon, and we had the best time. She has really declined since then. Just wish you pray for her.
Patsy Vickery.
Blame my sister Betty.
Praise the
Lord. Blame Steve's cousin. Got burnt real bad the other day. I think he jumped a burning brush pile and got one of those nether things caught grasses or something. Could have been bodies.
burnt, and whatever they were told to do, it didn't work, so they don't have to break it. For most parts of the body, I don't know, I'll see the special, but they're asking for breaks. Either they're not doing it, I'm sure it's okay.
Definitely pressure now. And then continue praying for Michael's sister. Good to see you this morning. Anyone else?
Brother Wayne, Allison texted Belinda this morning and said that Michael's not doing very well, feeling very bad. She said after the shot this morning, he got sick, so I take it, it was an insulin shot.
It was. Pray for him again this morning, I pray also.
Would you pray for my bosses, for my boss? Her dad is now in the hospice, and she's having to spend a lot of time there and trying to work from his house and only above, but he's had cancer now for 2 years, but it's, well, just pray for her. He's really going through days.
It's good to see you, okay? Good to see you.
Pray for her and me this week. She goes to the beach with her friend and her family. And I'd never let her off that far like that without us. So just pray, because you hear horror stories or heard horror stories. Just pray that she's going to be safe, or her best friend Abby safe.
Amen.
We'll do that. Well, let's, anyone else, you want to look up in prayer? We have so many, we have a bunch. Every week we have so many prayers.
Hillary, just remember, too, from every one of those horror stories, there are millions of joyous returns.
Right.
Amen.
Don't get hung up on just 1 year or there's millions that come back just fine.
Yeah.
Amen.
Remember, Kayla and Joey and the kids are on a little trip this weekend.
Okay.
Well, that's some glory.
Oh, great, I just started to do the art right now. We're praying for mom and daddy drive 6.5 hours for 3 years.
Yeah, this time there, there's a lot of traveling going on, so we have to pay for travel mercies there. Well, let's do this, and let's come to the altar, and we'll lift these requests up in prayer. And again, if you have someone on your heart that you need to pray for that needs a Savior, definitely pray for them this morning. But let's come to the altar and lift these up in prayer. Then we'll have our Sunday school. And I'm going to call on Brother Greg. Will you lead us in this prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, come here today asking you for many blessings to be bestowed.
Pray your name, Father.
Very great care, great need.
Realize that there's no shortage of sickness, dear Lord.
Witness to them in a way that you have to give us peace and tribulation.
God, I pray for you to hear each one of these requests. God, bless you.
There's so many people that lift up
Lord, I pray for you to especially for Brother Bo and Sister Linda. This morning, God, wrap the arms around the Lord. Give us peace like a river, Lord. This passes all understanding. God, I pray. Lord, I pray for all the Lord that are traveling, dear God, that you watch over and protect us and send us back home safely. God, I pray that you bless us in the midst of this service today, dear Lord. Whatever we do, God, I pray that we do it in the most special year. God, I pray that you bless those that sing and those that play all the instruments. God, heavenly pray or testify to this and sing special. Whatever God you have, we want to do, Lord. We pray, God, that you bless us. We pray, God, When you knock on their heart, would you bless us today?
Try to stand and break bread of life. I pray that you hide behind the cross, God.
Thank you, God.
For these things, reach me for us, God. I pray, Lord, that they can break these for us, and God, I pray that whatever the need might be, we can serve us in that need.
Dear God, I hope that you help us be obedient to all things according to your will.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are humbly bowed before you and ask you to continue to bless us.
Yes.
Bless this church.
Yes.
Bless each and every one in this church. Allow us to continue to be the beacon, especially as this week comes upon us, dear Lord, that we celebrate the greatest gift that you've ever given this world. Please bless each and every one of us. For your Son's holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Easter week to everyone. And after Tuesday, it's going to be some beautiful weather for the rest of the week. Yeah. So everybody be thinking, because by the time we dismiss service today, there needs to be a decision made whether or not to have a sunrise service. So be thinking about that between now and then. Just hadn't anything been said either way. So keep that in mind. In conference, we changed what we normally do the Sunday before conference. We did quite a bit of reading before, but we changed in our decorum to just do a piece of it. And if it's all right with everybody, I'd like to do the piece of it this morning. It's our 14th article of faith. And what I really want to talk about, you know, Friday night is our communion service. If it was in the Old Testament, we'd call it our Passover service. And I want to just give us a little history about that and why we do what we do. So if you turn to the 12th chapter of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. To really grasp, well, you'd almost have to go back to the beginning of Genesis, but we don't have time for that today. But I will pick up with Joseph and his coat of many colors. You know, as a boy, Joseph was sold into bondage by his brothers, wound up down in Egypt, and wound up basically being second in command when it was all said and done. And he told Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought. Well, it was during the 7 years of drought that Joseph's family came down to Egypt to buy grain because there was such a famine in the land. And there they met again and they stayed. And that's how Israel, the children of Israel, wound up in Egypt. And as time went on, they grew. But as you start the book of Exodus, it starts out saying, there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know anything about Joseph and really didn't care. He was worried about those people because they were multiplying so fast that there's going to be a rebellion. Now keep in mind at this time, in history, Egypt militarily was the U.S. is today. They had chariots, they had spears, they had soldiers. They were the top dog at the time. But God was going to make an example out of them by freeing the children of Israel. And we know on the backside of the mountain, God appeared to a man named Moses in the burning bush and give him his marching orders, what to do, to go into Pharaoh. God was going to use Moses and Aaron, his brother, right? Yeah. To lead the people out of Egypt. But also, utterly, they would destroy Egypt. And so, of course, Aaron and Moses went to Pharaoh, told him, asked him, whatever, to let the children of Israel go. And he says, no. And thus begins a series of plagues upon Egypt. And if you really slow down and read through those plagues, you realize how devastating they were. Their lifeblood was the Nile River, which was turned into blood. You think about the swarms of locusts that ate every green thing in the land. You think about all the cattle that died. By the time the children of Israel left Egypt, Egypt was a third world country. And never really in history has recovered. They really hadn't. They were more destroyed than if an army had come in. Not only that, they lost so many people. But what I want to talk about that's important is the last plague. And that was the plague of the death of the firstborn. And it was to be the death. Let me find it. Let's back up one chapter to chapter 11, verse 4. And Moses is now talking to the children of Israel. Oh, wait. I need to read this first. I'm sorry. Got to make this official. Our 14th article of faith talks about the two ordinances that we as a church observe. Ordinance being a decree. And it's baptism and the Lord's Supper, which we call communion service. We believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life, that it is a prerequisite to the privilege of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by solemn self-examination. So that's actually one of our basic articles of faith that covers that. It's one of the two ordinances that we hold to, baptism and the Lord's Supper, our communion. But Moses told the children of Israel in chapter 11 of Exodus, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Amen.
Lord puts a difference. His people make a difference to him as opposed to the world. And in this, you know, you've got the children of God and the world. That's really how it's looked at. If you jumped it over in the New Testament, it'd be the saved and the lost. But Israel had to do something. They had to do something. This destroyer was coming. And Moses is going to tell them the only way they could be safe from the destroyer. Now in the 12th chapter, And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And here's the most important thing. Well, as important. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So they were to take, we'd call it a sponge, but it's probably a bunch of little fine leaves, twigs, yeah. And they were to put that blood over their door, front door, and then up and down both sides. And that was covering that house from the destroyer coming. They were safe as long as their house or their door, the way into their house, was under the blood. Okay? And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his heads and his legs, for with the appearance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall ye burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Those folks are going somewhere. And it says it another place in Exodus, once the doorpost had been painted, they were to go in and not come out. They were staying under that blood through the night. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day, which they named the Passover, shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And this weekend you will find some Jews that still do this exactly the way it's written. But the key to this is it was a lamb without spot and blemish. It had to be perfect to look at. And the blood had to be applied to the door. And once they went in through that blood-covered door, they were safe from the destroyer. Any questions or comments on the Old Testament part of this?
I just want to add one. Just from a historical perspective.
Sure.
That's what they call a threshold covenant. And that covenant was quite common back then, was when you had to make a deal with somebody that was very serious. The doors of the house is what they call a groover. And so they would sacrifice an animal. And then they would pour the blood around the groover of the door. And you had three choices. You could either turn away from the deal, you could step over into the house and you could take the deal, or you could step on the blood and you could say, I have nothing to do with this deal, I hate this deal, I'm walking away. It was an act of violence and anger. I think God in his providence, he used a symbol that the Hebrews knew very well. They understood the symbolism behind it. It was a covenant with Almighty God. That blood protected them. And I think conversely, not to get too far ahead of you,
okay,
when we go into the New Testament, our soul, our house, it is the inside of that house. And Jesus is at the door, and he's knocking. And he's, let me come in. He'll come in, and he'll step into your house, and then his blood, his Passover, will be on the door of your life. And that the spirit of death will pass over your life. But the etymology of that, of the a term that's cut a deal, that's where that comes from. That's how far back that goes, because that's what they would do. They would cut a deal. They would sacrifice an animal, and they would use that to make a bond or make a pact or make a deal. That's why I just wanted to add that in.
That's okay.
To me, when I first read that, that created a whole much deeper meaning for me about what God was doing there, that it was so much, I mean, we could go into, you could preach days on the Passover blood, what it means, but it's a beautiful, beautiful symbolism of the power and saving grace of God.
Amen.
And if one of the houses of the Israel, children of Israel, had not put the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn would have died. There had been death in that home.
Yes.
That destroyer, he only saw one thing, and that was that blood. He either saw it or he didn't. Yeah. Someone else. All right, we jump to Luke. Chapter 22. Verse 7. I should have marked that, shouldn't I? Sorry, I had to find it. All right. Now, we know that Christ kept the law to a jot and a tittle. The only person that ever did that kept it perfectly. And here we are, they were coming up on the Passover and also coming up on the crucifixion, and Christ knowing this. Luke chapter 22, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us a Passover, the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. He'd have made a good deacon one day, wouldn't he? And he shall say to the good men of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber that I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there made ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's already looking at the cross, isn't he? Yeah. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This was, as we see the paintings, the Last Supper. Yeah. Now between verses 16 and 17, they eat the Passover. I think just exactly like you were supposed to do it. But now we were going to start the conversion from the law to grace. It's time. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now what did this cup of wine represent? Blood. His blood. Go all the way back to the blood over the doorpost. Yeah. And there's some really unique characteristics of wine that make it such an appropriate analogy for Christ's blood. If you put wine in a bottle, it'll be better 1,000 years from now than it is 10 years from now. That wine gets better and better and purer and stronger as time goes on. That's the kind of blood we have applied to our lives, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. When we're saved, we get a covering of blood on our life that just gets stronger the older we get. So strong that even in eternity, it just gets stronger. Yeah. Because as we all know, on the last day, the destroyer will come.
Sure.
And the difference will be the blood, won't it? That's all he'll look at. Yeah. I know there's so many different opinions about the last judgment. We're not even going to touch that today. But I will say this. As an 11-year-old boy, I had the blood applied, and judgment will be a piece of cake.
Amen.
You know, there is a verse that says some men's sins go before them, and some men's sins follow after them. As an 11-year-old boy, mine went that way. That's taken care of. Don't have to worry about that. So that's Michael's opinion for his two cents, okay? So take it for that. But I like the saying, I'm as good as there. Because of the blood. Yeah. All right, now. Then next. And he took bread. And by the way, this specifically had to be unleavened bread. The leaven representing an impurity in the bread, okay? Or yeast, as would we not match it up with yeast today? Yeah. So their bread was like a tortilla shell, I guess, just flat. And they took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Okay? So we've got part of this Lord's Supper being a representation of the blood, and then another part representing his body, or God coming to earth as a man. God and man. Don't ask me to explain that. I cannot do it. But God coming in the flesh, in Christ, that had to happen. Without Christ, we had no hope. And without the shed blood of Christ, we had no hope. And then he says after that, this do in remembrance of me. Our communion service is a memorial service. That's really what it is. As we look back on Calvary and Christ. But it's also a celebration. Sometimes it's kind of hard to look at it that way. But I'm also in that memorial. I've got my shoes on and my clothes on. And I know I'm ready to go. Because of the blood and the bread. Christ's sacrifice. Christ coming to earth. That gives me the surety that when the destroyer comes, I'm safe. I'm good to go. You're good to go. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And that is why today, as New Testament grace Christians, we don't celebrate the Passover per se. Because that starts today with the Jewish people. And they'll go all through the week. But we have the memorial service every year. And I love that we do it on Good Friday evening. And it says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. So I'm not going to throw stones on anybody how often they do it, when they do it. It's not listed in the scriptures. Sir?
As long as they do it.
As long as they do it, sure. Now, I have a little problem with doing it every Sunday. Looks like that would get routine, maybe. But, hey, that's their business, not mine. Okay? It's just, you know, that's not against Scripture. But in the past, we've done it twice. But we moved it to Good Friday to line up with Easter. And I really like it that way. And what will happen if you've never participated? We have it Friday night at 7 o'clock. The deacon's, well, let me be clear here. One of the deacon's wives will cook unleavened bread. And that's a challenge today, isn't it, Sister Nell? She's made plenty of it. Yeah, to keep it flat. Tell everybody, how would you go about making it?
I have Hazel's recipe.
Okay.
So it's just plain flour and water. And if it gets brown, well, you just toss it and start over again.
Like I say, it's a challenge.
Yeah, and you just flatten it out as flat as you can. Stick it in the oven on low, about 300. Let it cook a long, long time, but don't let it get brown.
Yeah. Now, Paul wrote somewhere in the New Testament, don't come to the Passover hungry. That's not what it's all about. No, that's not what it's all about. Now, whether we should make it a habit to have a meal and then come in, we can talk about that, having supper ended out there. But we try to do it just as close to the way it was done with Christ and the apostles, the disciples. Yeah. So, the bread is made and unleavened, okay? And the deacons make wine for this service, the real deal, okay? Some churches don't do that. That's their business, not mine, okay? We do. We choose to. Yeah. And each one of those, the pastor will break it. He will pray, ask someone to ask the blessing over it. We'll try to do it just exactly like it was done in the Old Testament, in the Gospels. Let me stop here. I'm rambling. Somebody comment. Is anybody listening? Yes. Okay.
I like that we still do foot washing too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of churches have cut that part out.
Yeah.
Because germs or something, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did it all the time.
Yeah.
Get hand, foot, mouth,
or... I know. Hadn't happened to me in 50 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And after that, we do let the women over here and the men over here. And it's not like we get soap and water out. But we do show our humbleness to our brother and our sister. Yeah. Because I promise you, if I can get down and just rub a little water on my brother's feet, I guarantee you I love that boy.
Amen.
Yes, yeah. Amen. Boy, I just... But it's even more humbling when someone asks you to sit down. Yeah, and I know some churches have stopped doing that, and they'll ask me, and I'll say, hey, is it a sin to do it? And they'll say, well, no. I say, okay, then leave me alone.
You're just
missing something really special. Yeah.
And brother, some can't do that because they don't love them that much. And that's true.
Yeah.
They just don't. They'll say, I love you, but to stoop down and wash your feet is below me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad that we can do that.
Yeah.
Well, after all, we're showing our love towards him by how that we love one another.
Yeah. Would you wash Christ's feet if he was here?
Sure we would.
What did he say? If you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you've done it unto me. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone a question about that?
So basically, this week, we all really need to focus on ourselves and making sure that we're right with God and that sort of thing before we even go into Friday evening. Really taking a self-reflection on stuff like that. Is that...
Yeah, that would be a good thing to do. But now I know some people... Let me say, the only thing that makes me worthy to participate in that service is the blood that was applied in my life when I was saved. There's not enough praying and working and whatever I could do to be worthy of this service. But this whole week, like I say, we don't do the Passover, but this whole week I need to be focused on the reason for the season. Yeah.
Well, Michael, the 14th, I think it's the 14th that you read, it ends, followed always by solemn self-examination. Mm-hmm. So what she, that's exactly what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't come in here, you know, you wouldn't, you want to be at your best. You wouldn't go into an operating room as a doctor with dirty hands.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
You wouldn't be at your best. And that comment, that portion of the article of faith, I used to stumble over that because I couldn't figure how I was worthy to be a part of accepting the body in Christ and blood of Christ. But it's just like you said. He just let me know one time. He says, when you became mine, you became worthy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
So no matter what I am, and I don't consider myself a very good person, when I look at myself, I could be so much better. There's so many things I could put away, so many things I could do that I don't do. But he said, when you became mine, you became worthy.
Yeah.
Brother Michael, every time that we hear the Word of God read or that we read the Word of God or where it's preached, does that not cause us to reflect inward? Does it not cause us
sure.
to look to the inside? It's anytime the bread is broken, and that means the book is open and it's read and it's partaken of, then it causes an inward reflection or an inward, it causes us to look inside. I think one time, Brother Michael, you said it shines the light in our deepest, darkest places. And for us to go into this service with something hidden in our hearts that we don't want to turn loose of, brother, that's something we're going to have to deal with the Lord.
Yeah.
It is. And I'm sure it's not just the communion service that would bring that out. He's not going to let us go without knowing.
That's
or without
right.
bringing our attention ever.
Sure. Now, what's a prerequisite to the Lord's Supper?
Baptism.
And what's a prerequisite to baptism?
Being saved.
Being saved. This service is strictly for the church. Now, if Brother Patrick Johnson was to come in, I would be more than happy for him to participate, okay? But really, it's for the church that's here at Liberty Hill, I feel like myself. Yeah. But like I say, as long as someone's under the same faith and order, I don't have a problem. But I don't know that person like I know my brothers here, you know? Yeah, this is for the family, the local family here, the Liberty Hill family. Let me put it that way. Yeah, yeah. Anyone else? I know I've run over, but.
Good lesson.
And the first part is a solemn service. It's quiet. But it's not so quiet towards the end. It's when I could tell my brother how much I appreciate him.
Oh,
yeah.
The most humbling part of my life.
Yes, sir.
Getting down at my brother's feet. It's one of these brothers getting down at my feet. That's the part that you just can't get over it.
That's right.
And then it says in the scriptures that after that they sang a song and went out, and that's what we'll do. We'll sing one song and we'll dismiss. We try to do it just as much like the Old Testament as we can. Anyone else? I'm done. Appreciate your help this morning.